Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Wednesday. Yes, it is. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. It is great to have you in today. We will offer clarity in a cluttered sports world. That's what we will do today. Nick Wright, Joel Klatt stop by in the first hour, 15 minutes. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. There's a whole lot going on this week. NBA draft tonight.
NBA draft tonight. Huge NFL weekend starts tomorrow. Seahawks, Arizona. It's the best NFL weekend of the year. Monday Night Football is great. Thursday Night Football is great. Sunday's got three or four great rivalry games. So I want to start with this. So what is leadership? Like, what is leadership? I remember having Jimmy Johnson stop by here, one of the great football coaches of all time. And I asked him one time, I'm like, what is leadership? And he's like, I don't know. Troy Aikman had it. I can't really define it. And I don't know what it is either. I think leadership is the courage to do unpopular things, but don't do unpopular things just to be aggravating. Leadership is elevating others. Leadership is I can count on you in crisis. The NBA's got all sorts of talent. I don't think they have a ton of great leaders, but I think Kevin Durant is one of those. I think LeBron's the best basketball player in the world and has been for 15 years. When healthy, Kevin Durant, in my opinion, is number two. Kawhi's a close third, great defender. But I think even though the burner Twitter account and, you know, he can be a little bit fragile physically. When I think of Kevin Durant, I think of always takes the big shot, never ducks it, will yell at teammates, yelled at Draymond Green. Not afraid to go after people. I don't think he's quite the leader of LeBron James, but I don't think most of this league is quite the blank of LeBron James. But I think leadership starts with honesty and doing uncomfortable things. And I'm reading these stories about the Houston Rockets. The owner says, I will make it uncomfortable for Westbrook and Harden. And you think to yourself, boy, Houston is in a rough spot here. Kevin Durant can clean it up very quickly. And this is a moment for Kevin Durant to be a leader. Kevin Durant goes to the owner and Steve Nash of the Brooklyn Nets and says, get me Harden, trade everything else. You don't need Jared Allen. You can win in this league without bigs. Kyrie Irving, Harden, and KD. Be honest, that doesn't even sound like it works. That's just going to be too many guys with the ball. Kevin Durant and James Harden can get you to the NBA championship with a bunch of B players. Listen, the NFL's different. Most of your star quarterbacks, I mean, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have any baggage. I mean, he's coachable. He works hard. He's good. He's a great kid. He loves football. He's passionate. He works his ass off. But in the NBA, just the basketball culture in general, everybody's got something. You know, Kyrie is brittle and his ego, and Westbrook doesn't play well with others, and but the truth of the matter is, in the big picture of the NBA, take LeBron out of it, Kevin Durant and James Harden, they love to play. They play hard. They're into basketball. I mean, Harden's kind of ball-centric style can be difficult, but he's gotten lots of playoff wins in his career, and Kevin Durant's remarkable, although, again, his injuries concern me a little. Leadership, we know that LeBron James has gone to front offices and said, get me that guy and get rid of those guys. When he came to Los Angeles, he didn't like any of his players. I'm still not sure he likes Kuzma. He said, get me AD. That is leadership. You may not like that view of leadership, but that's what CEOs do in America. Get me that vice president. Get me that sales director. Get me that HR person. That is leadership. Let's go get it. And LeBron has never been shy. Go to an owner. Go to a GM. Go. I need that. I don't like that. Kevin Durant, this is your moment. You can be a nice guy. You can be well-liked. James Harden and Kevin Durant feels like a finals to me. Make it happen. LeBron would. And I think KD, I do think KD's got good leadership skills. I really do. I mean, sometimes he gets, you know, the little Twitter burner thing, whatever. LeBron's on social all day anyway. Some guys are into it. NBA guys are into it. But this to me is a moment because the rest, it looks like Houston's in a really tough spot. They wouldn't be if KD went to the owner and just said, let's get Harden, give him whatever they want. Give him Kyrie, give him 5 first round picks, give him Jared Allen, give him a guy off the bench. You'll figure out in the NBA, you get LeBron and AD. They just won a championship without a dependable third scorer. Joy and I watched it. It was on television. I mean, we were literally all year like, who's going to show up? It was like Rondo all year was a mess. And then Rondo in the finals, you're like, oh, okay, it was Rondo. You get two great players. You get LeBron and AD. You just figure the rest of the crap out. You get Harden and KD could make this happen today. Give them everything. Get me Harden. That's leadership. It's uncomfortable. You'll get flack. But in this league where even the star players all have, you know, outside of LeBron, there's a little baggage here and there. KD doesn't have a lot. And Harden, I'll take his. He plays hard. He plays every night. He gives me 32 a night. And by the way, he makes an effort on defense. He's not a great defensive player, but down low, he'll put his butt on you. He gives an effort. I'm okay with that. Kyrie doesn't. Yesterday, by the way, Chris Broussard said KD likes James Harden a lot.
People around the league are saying Durant wants Harden and Kyrie does not. Who is James Harden close with in the organization in Brooklyn? Mike D'Antoni. Every offense he's created has had one guy handling the ball and creating the offense for everybody else. Who you think he's giving the ball to in Brooklyn if they get James Harden? It's Harden. And I don't see Kyrie wanting to be the third best player on a team.
Make it happen, KD. You can do it. You're a leader. You are. I believe it. Go for it. All right, NBA draft is tonight. I think this is rather remarkable. I'll watch it. I'm a sportscaster. I have to. The NBA draft tonight does not have a clear-cut guaranteed star. Not one. Basketball is a global game. The world plays basketball. And for the record, like soccer, it can be kind of inexpensive. Hockey, tennis, golf equipment, football, baseball, you got to find a diamond, bat, ball. Those can be really cost prohibitive. But soccer and basketball, get a ball, couple of dudes, you can work on your game. It's a global game, and we don't have one player in the draft that everybody acknowledges is great. Last year, alone, in the first round alone, the NFL got 3 stars just at quarterback. Just at quarterback, ready to play as 21, 22-year-old men. LaMelo Ball may go number one tonight. Apparently, his people are giving teams binders, breaking down his social media influence. Anthony Edwards, guard from Georgia, may go. He has, they say here, an inconsistent work ethic, can't shoot. He tells the story that he really prefers football, but once he could dunk, he chose basketball. So they asked him, when did you really get into basketball? He said, I'm still not really into it. If I were drafted by the NFL tomorrow, I'd let basketball go. He also says he wants to get into music. Oh, boy. I'm not blaming the kids here, but I think we have something going on in our country in the basketball and football cultures, and I prefer the football culture. It does not coddle and it does not worship. Kyler Murray is great. He had to transfer. Russell Wilson's amazing. He had to transfer. Aaron Rodgers had to go to a junior college. Baker Mayfield had to walk on twice. Tom Brady was told, you're not good enough. We'll draft 6 quarterbacks over you. The basketball culture in America is increasingly, and it's getting worse, worshiping, coddling. Find an 18-year-old or earlier, according to reports I hear about shoe companies, and get them paid. The football culture is about building men emotionally and physically. This past NFL draft, they could not hold it in a city. Although I got to tell you, I loved it in Chicago. I loved it in Philly. I loved it in Nashville. I like the traveling NFL draft. I think it's really cool. But instead, they did it on Zoom calls and meetings and houses. And it was remarkable. Young men surrounded by family, crying, changing lives. Oh, so ever grateful for the opportunity to play a great game. They weren't handing you a social media binder. They weren't saying, yeah, I kind of prefer hoops. Football's culture builds things. They build young men into 22-year-old men who are a little more grateful, a little more humble, a little more thankful, and frankly, a lot tougher and more focused. I don't blame the kids on basketball. If I was 15 years old and somebody gave me a briefcase of money in my situation and I was told I was great and it was swag and it was shoes and it was YouTube, I couldn't handle it. Who am I kidding? I'm not sure if I can still handle it. I don't blame the kid. I blame the culture of basketball, which is too coddling and worshiping and YouTube-driven. A social media binder? I'd play football if they drafted me? It's allowed. In football, it's not about finding you and paying you. It's about finding you and building you. The development in football is remarkable. I live in Southern California. It's all over the country. I've seen it in Houston, Atlanta. The quality of football coaching is so good. And it's not about just the kid. It's about the culture and building him from a boy to a man. I know it sounds corny and melodramatic, but we have a global game. And we don't have one player tonight who's guaranteed to be good. The NFL's a domestic sport. That's the only place you get players. It's expensive. It's cost prohibitive. There's 7 rounds of players. And then half the league is undrafted. I like my sports to care more than just about money. I like them to care about the kid, emotionally and physically. I'll watch the draft tonight. But the top 2 players would scare the hell out of me. I don't want to know about your Instagram page. I don't know about Patrick Mahomes. I don't know about Kyler Murray's. I don't know about Joe Burrow's. I never knew about Andrew Luck. I know he needed to shave his beard. It was a mess. I don't want to know about that social media stuff. And by the way, if you don't love basketball, keep it to yourself. You're hurting yourself. Do a better job as an agent. He's a kid. He needs guidance. But I think we have a basketball culture that too often is broken and a football culture that's worried about the right stuff. Not only building up a kid's bank account, but building up the kid emotionally and physically.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tua, quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. His 2 coaches in his life have been Nick Saban, the best college football coach of all time, and Brian Flores, who looks like a bona fide star coach. And so Tua said the other day, it's like, you know, it's not, the NFL's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And people jumped on the kid. But here's the thing. If you were Tua and you had landed Nick Saban and then Brian Flores, and you also played at a high school in Hawaii that, like, didn't lose a game for 3 years, football wouldn't look as hard. And frankly, it's not if you get the right coach. Bill Parcells, 4 times, took bad teams, made them good within a year. Urban Meyer, 4 times, took college football programs, bad 1 year, turned them all around in 1 year. When you get the right coach, football's not that hard. You don't even need to land a great quarterback. Brian Flores has turned it around with Ryan Fitzpatrick. They were 0-7 to start the year. They finished the year better than New England. Look at the Giants with Joe Judge. They're turning it around without Saquon Barkley and with Daniel Jones, who nobody classifies at this point as even a good quarterback. I'm not saying finding that coach is easy, but Brian Flores had a very good reputation. I heard a story about a week ago that the only thing that held him back is he'd never officially been a coordinator for a year, but he blew everybody away in interviews. People were just worried. He's never even been a coordinator. He needs 1 year as a coordinator. People were worried. Sean McVay blew people away. Look at what Sean McVay did with the Rams. He didn't even do it in one season. He did it in an off season. They went from awful to 3-0 in September. So this idea, if you played in Honolulu where Tua did and never lost a high school game, or maybe lost one, and then you went to Nick Saban, and then you went to Brian Flores, when you get the right coach, it's not difficult. Joe Judge and Brian Flores, without great quarterbacks, turned around the culture in 8 weeks. That was it. By the middle of the season, about Thanksgiving, you looked at Miami and you're like, Joey and I kept saying this. We're like, oh, they're going to be a tough out when they get some players. Like, they're well coached. Giants right now. I picked them last week to win. I said, you watch the Giants play. They just have to get more dynamic offensively. Saquon Barkley, get a star receiver or a big-time young talent receiver. That's a football team that wins division and win games in the playoffs. So this idea that, oh, football has been kind of easy. First of all, Tua works really hard, and he's got some natural instinctive gifts. And he went from the best West Coast football program to the best college football program to the best young football coach. It's not that hard. I've watched it my entire life. The bad coaches make it hard. I mean, Andy Reid got fired in Philadelphia. There were eight teams that hired coaches. But it was the Kansas City Chiefs, who have stable, smart ownership forever, since I've been a kid. They've been viable. They've always been viable. They were on the phone with Andy Reid within 3 hours and had a contract signed in 4 days. He was available to a bunch of teams. What a shock. The one well-run team hired Andy Reid, who had a history of 5 NFC championship games and a Super Bowl appearance. This league is not that tough. It's not easy to find the right coach and the right GM, but once you do, Sean McDermott turned around Buffalo fast. Sean McVay turned around the Rams in an offseason. Joe Judge and Brian Flores, 8 weeks. You're like, those are really good football coaches. It ain't that difficult. There's a lot of bad GMs. It's like anything else. There's a lot of bad in the NFL and about 10% really good. The key, of course, is finding the really good. But McVay had a reputation. Flores had a reputation. People knew about them. Kyle Shanahan was on the market for a lot of teams. It took too long for him to get the Niners job. Everybody knew Kyle Shanahan. He made 4 different quarterbacks Pro Bowlers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
He's the host of First Things First, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing, my buddy Nick Wright. I'm interested because I said to start my show today, if you give me KD and James Harden, you figure out the rest. I think KD is a leader. Yep. I do think he's a leader. Nobody's perfect outside of LeBron in this league, but Harden plays hard. He plays every night. He will try to defend. He's a great scorer. He dribbles too much, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, to me, Kevin Durant should go up and just say, get me Harden. I don't even care if I start from scratch. Give me North Carolina's team. I don't care. So that's my theory on Harden, KD. It's like LeBron AD. Everything else floats. They'll make it work. And then you just ship Kyrie to Houston. Am I nuts on that?
Well, it's not that you're nuts. I actually think you're closer than the folks that think the Nets have any realistic chance of getting Harden with a package centered around Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie. And no disrespect to those players, but they're 26 and 27 years old. The picks you would attach to it are going to be borderline useless because you would have Kevin Durant and James Harden on the team, so the team would be excellent. If the Rockets are going to move on from Harden, if they've made that decision, and I don't believe they have, but if they have, you have to get a star and picks.
Yes.
So you've got to get Ben Simmons, or you've got to get Michael Porter Jr., or you call up Utah. Now, I don't know if James Harden would agree to set foot in Salt Lake City for more than a night, but Donovan Mitchell for James Harden could be interesting.
Yeah.
Just like Kyrie for Harden, I agree with you, would be interesting. Kyrie is the reason that this does not fit for the Nets.
Right.
Is Kyrie does what Harden does at a lower level and is far more drama. And so I I can't report what Chris Broussard reported yesterday with sources. I can just report it with logic and reasoning. Of course Kyrie doesn't like the idea of James Harden coming there. He didn't want to be the little brother to LeBron, so he left a great situation. Now he's going to want to be the third kid when two guys are clearly better than him at what he does best. So I love the idea of KD and Harden as a pair. I don't think it makes a ton of sense with Kyrie there, but I don't know if they're allowed to trade Kyrie because KD, you know, KD picked the coach. He picked DeAndre Jordan. He seems to be trying to pick Harden. I don't know if KD wants them to move on from Kyrie before they've even played a game together, but that is probably the best trade they could make, Colin.
By the way, speaking of trades, I remember years ago when the Lakers got Pau Gasol, I remember being in a window seat on the airport. It wasn't Twitter. It was like on the interweb. And I remember sitting there on the plane going, how did they get Pau Gasol? I don't understand this. That should be illegal. So Dennis Schroeder is not Pau Gasol. But I looked at it and thought, LeBron gets a 27-year-old who's 18 a game, probably more with LeBron, and they get rid of Danny Green's contract and they give up a 28th pick. Am I nuts on this? That is the most underreported trade. This makes the Lakers a prohibitive favorite to win again, right?
So I think it's a great trade. Also, I hadn't realized how long ago the Lakers traded for Pau Gasol, but it was back when Colin Cowherd wasn't flying private. So, wow, it's a long time ago, America. I think it's a great move. I think this is such a better move than the reported 28th pick, Danny Green and Kuzma, for DeMar DeRozan. I think Schroeder is a better fit for the Lakers than DeRozan. And what you also have to, what goes along with this is, I reported this weekend, not only that the Lakers expect to lose Rondo, but they kind of know who they're going to lose him to. Rondo, I can't say assuredly, but the Lakers believe Rondo is going to sign with the Hawks for a lot of money. So if Rondo's out the door, you need another guy who can initiate offense. You also need a guy who can score off the bench, and maybe Schroeder will start. We'll see what happens with Avery Bradley. KCP is going to be brought back on a big number, but I expect him to be back with the Lakers. I think they expect that as well. I love the fit. And as you were describing earlier, if you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you're really just filling out the margins here.
Yes.
So the other decisions the Lakers have to make, for instance, do you want to bring back Dwight, or do you want to pursue, for example, Serge Ibaka or Tristan Thompson in that role? Like, there, how do you want to use your mid-level exception? Those are the types of things they have to do, but they've got 90% of the puzzle solved with LeBron and AD, but I think Schroeder is a really good piece, and it did kind of get lost in the Harden news and the Bucks trading for Drew Holiday, which is a signal to the whole league. They think they've got Giannis in the bag.
Yeah.
You don't trade away three future picks unless you believe Giannis is re-signing here in a few weeks with you.
So you are from Kansas City. You love Kansas City. And the last time the Raiders were there, they beat Kansas City and reportedly did a hysterical victory lap in the bus. I loved it. Joy loved it. I wonder how it sat with you.
Okay, so Kansas City is the largest American city you've never been to.
Yes,
correct, Colin
Cowherd? Exactly. Yes, it is true. That's true, yeah.
Okay. Okay. By the way, I take that as a personal insult, and it will still take it as a personal insult until you finally go. But okay. Let me describe for people who haven't been there, Arrowhead Stadium. Arrowhead, it's not one of those fancy downtown arenas. It's not on the Vegas Strip. It's not in a really, it is in a place called Raytown, Missouri. There are two things around Arrowhead Stadium, a Taco Bell and a Sad Drury Inn. So if you are taking a lap there, it is not to see the sights, my friends, of my great hometown of Kansas City. It is because you are trying to taunt the team. And I get it. Listen, Raiders, I understand. It was beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead was the single best moment your franchise has experienced since Rich Gannon was your quarterback. It's a good moment. You want to embrace it. You want to bask in it. You know that's probably as high up the mountaintop as you're going to get. Unfortunately for you, you beat them in the first matchup of the season, not the second matchup of the season. Because now what you have supplied the Chiefs with is the thing they've been searching for all year, motivation. It's hard to get motivated every day when you're so clearly the best team in the league with so clearly the best player in the league. And you've seen that. The Chiefs played close games against bad teams, beat up on the Ravens when they were motivated, and then kind of sleptwalk. But now they're awake, and now they're ready. And assuming their tackles get off the COVID list, Derek Carr and John Gruden and Mike Mayock and Mark Davis, what you're going to experience this when's the game, Sunday night? Sunday is, I would say, 3.5 hours of pain, but probably 2 hours and 15 minutes of pain, because at that point it'll be like 38-3 and they'll probably take their foot off the gas. I expect this victory lap to be punished. They will be punished for it for the first 3+ quarters on Sunday, and then all of us will be able to get to go to bed a little early Sunday night because the fourth quarter won't be competitive. So I'm glad they did it. I'm happy for the Raiders. Best moment for the franchise in 15 years. But that bill is coming due Sunday evening.
Okay, 1.5 minutes left. Little tight here. Nick Wright joining us finally. What was your – I forget because there's so many quarterbacks and we all have opinions. What was your hunch on Tua? Are you surprised that he's been this good? He came out this week and said, it's easier than I thought, which didn't bother me because when you have Saban, Brian Flores, and play for the best high school in the country, arguably, yep, it is easier than it is for everybody else. What do you make of Tua so far?
So listen, I have a very spotty record on college to pro quarterback prognostication. I loved Haskins. That has not gone well. Tua is in my win column. I said Tua should go number one. I stand by that. I bet Tua, I'll text you the slip, I bet Tua November 1st to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. And right now, he's almost even with Herbert and Burrow on that. I love him. I think he's in. The only question mark was the hip. Aside from that, to me, is a no-doubter. I also think Brian Flores is turning, pardon me, turning himself into a top-5 coach in this league. I think they're going to win the division, and I think he's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I love that team. I love that player.
His name is Nick Wright.
Up talking about him, Colin.
Yeah, go ahead. I had that
happen. Hard for me.
That happens once a year or two. Good seeing you, buddy.
You too. Good to see you guys.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tom Brady won the AFC East year after year, and obviously he was very good, but much of it was the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets' dysfunction. He got a lot of breaks there. He got a massive break last weekend when Drew Brees got hurt, and it looks like now the one team that Tampa does not match up against, they've been routed twice, once embarrassingly so, the Saints. The Saints are going to have a backup quarterback who's new to the team without a preseason, Jameis Winston. So it's a huge break for Tom Brady and the Bucs, who a week ago after that Saints loss, you thought to yourself, they're going to be on the road for 3 straight road playoff games. No way they're winning those. Brady was talking to Jim Gray about Thanksgiving football and where he thinks the Bucs are now.
I've learned that football season always starts after Thanksgiving, and we're not quite there yet. We got one more game to go, and then we'll really see where we stand. And this is when the teams really start to rise to the occasion. This is where you see the commitment, the discipline, the hard work. This is where you really see how things pay off.
Well, it's interesting. It's funny. The more I see of the AFC, the more I like it. I like Miami. I like Buffalo. I think Tennessee will come back. Pittsburgh's obviously been remarkable. Kansas City, Baltimore, when they get healthy, will be better. The more of the AFC I watch, the more I like it. The more of the NFC I watch, the less I like it. Look at the standings today. So, I mean, Green Bay, Tampa Bay matches up with them very well. The Saints have a backup quarterback. Arizona's winning games they're outplayed by, and the Eagles are a bad division-leading team. The wild card outside of the Bucs, the Rams. Well, Tampa Bay plays on Monday. Rams don't have their left tackle. I like Tampa. And the Seahawks have the worst defense in the league. And in the hunt, you have a Bears team that's a mess at quarterback and a Lions team that can't hold a lead. I actually think Minnesota is going to make the playoffs and be a real tough out. But when you start really deep diving, the only team that Tampa doesn't match up well against is New Orleans. And I'll tell you, I think they match up well with everybody. Minnesota, I think, could be the second toughest matchup for them. I really do. So it's amazing how life changes in the NFL. Once Drew Brees got hurt, it's like, okay, that's the key is you win the division now. In 3 weeks, Tampa could lead this division by 2 games if Jameis doesn't work. And then Super Bowl in Tampa. you could get the number one seed. You really could. If you look at Green Bay's remaining games, and you beat them head-to-head. So it's the more I look at the NFC, don't sell Brady. Like, there's not a lot out there. They're going to play the Rams, who just dismantled the Seahawks, and I don't think the Rams match up terribly well against Tampa, especially with Andrew Whitworth out. I think Tampa's going to have their way getting after Jared Goff.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Been covering the NBA since the early 90s. Fox Sports NBA analyst Rick Bucher. A lot of stuff going on now. Joining us live in the Bay Area. All right, Harden, Westbrook, Houston, both want out. Brooklyn, KD, Kyrie want Harden. Let's just talk about Houston. What do you do?
Yeah.
Both your stars want out. I own the team, let's say. What do you do in Houston?
Accept the gift that has been given you and blow it up. They had proved that they were not good enough to win a championship. They needed to reset. Daryl Morey leaves and the cupboard is bare in terms of assets and trying to improve. And now you don't even have to carry the burden of saying that we're going to get rid of our stars and we're going to start over. Keep in mind, this is Houston is not like Cleveland or some of the other markets where you would be concerned about tearing it down and starting over. Free agents will come to Houston. And so get the assets, and now you don't even have the burden of the superstars complaining that you moved on from them. They've asked to move on, and they've even asked to move over to the Eastern Conference. You couldn't get it any better than this.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, start over, get as many assets and picks as you can. So the NBA draft is tonight. It's interesting. I was saying earlier, Michael Jordan likes LaMelo Ball, who's the opposite of Michael Jordan. He's distracted. He's into social media.
Yes.
He's not a physical player. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of Michael alpha attack. He's kind of the opposite of that. Why would he be interested in LaMelo Ball?
So there are two things working here. Number one, and I've been trying to figure this out, because Michael Jordan, as we know, and as we were reminded by The Last Dance, it's all about winning, and it's all about competition. So how could Michael Jordan preside over a Charlotte Hornets team that has been none of those things for the most part since he has owned them? And I was told it's because Michael is competing in a different arena now. For Michael, it is all about, how can I become the most powerful and wealthiest NBA owner? And while he came in not anywhere close to that, he certainly made strides. But if you look at everything that he's done with the Charlotte Hornets, and you look at it through the prism of how do I maximize this monetarily, it all makes sense. And LaMelo Ball, of all of the players in this draft, is the one guy that you could look at and say, you know what? He's going to attract attention. He's going to attract corporate sponsors. He's going to sell tickets. So it fits perfectly with the Michael Jordan current model. I would say the other part is that Michael has learned, you know what? I need to get the guy who has the talent, and I can infuse the attitude. I can teach them how to be. There are no other Michael Jordans. There's Michael Jordan, the owner, doesn't believe there's going to be another Michael Jordan, the player. But I can infuse him with some of what I have. So let me go and get the best talent and the guy who sells the most tickets, and then I'll add the rest.
A lot of times in the NBA, star-driven league, trades get talked about as being impactful, and I kind of roll my eyes at them. And then there's occasionally the trade that nobody talks about. It doesn't get a lot of play, and I can't believe how good it is. Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers, I saw it and thought, that's all they gave up?
Yes.
I thought to myself, if they won last year, they get Avery Bradley and Schroeder. This is a much bigger deal than is being given press, right?
100%. This is look, they're my prohibitive favorite to repeat. Largely based on this trade, you've added not just another quality player, but a guy who is what we call a dog in the NBA. Dennis Schroeder is fearless, and he is a fierce competitor. And while he's listed as a point guard, he plays much bigger than that. So you've just added that to the equation of LeBron James, the other pieces that they have, the growth that they've gotten from winning a championship. Number one being on that list, Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis now understands what it's like to play in big games and to win big games. You add Dennis Schroeder to that equation. It was a home run. And they gave up virtually nothing. I'm actually surprised that the Thunder accepted it, because I would think that Schroeder would have had more market value than this.
So the NBA draft is tonight. It's a lot of it's just you guess because you're drafting kids. I mean, they got 1 year of college or no college. So a lot of it is for years and years, David Stern, the late David Stern, didn't want his general managers going to high school games and scouts, right? So he said, you got to go to college for at least a year. Well, it's like, especially this year. I mean, who is anybody? I have no idea. What do you make of tonight's draft?
There are no franchise players. There are no sure things, which is why all of the top picks are readily available. All the GMs in the league right now, especially the ones up top with the top picks, are a little bit like the guy who goes to the carnival. And you go to that booth where you got to hit a target. And the guy running the booth says, I'll give you one shot and you can get that really big prize over there. Or I'll give you three shots and you can get one of these smaller prizes over here. The GMs are all looking at it going, I'll take the three shots at the smaller prize because all I want to do right now is walk away with a prize for my girlfriend, i.e. my owner. And the chances that I'm going to land a really big prize with one shot is not very good. Look, there's going to be a Devin Booker or a Damian Lillard in this draft. There's going to be a guy who isn't necessarily an all-star right away, but eventually becomes an all-star and a guy that you look at and go, you know what? He's a franchise cornerstone. I can build around him. But nobody knows who that is right now. So the GMs have there's going to be a lot of GMs that end up looking very bad, and they'd rather move down and take multiple picks where the heat is not on as opposed to having one of the top picks. And then you have a Booker or a Lillard that goes six or seven, and the owners and everybody in the media looks at the GMs that didn't pick that guy and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah. By the way, I've always thought Kevin Durant's a better leader than people give him credit for. If I was Kevin Durant, I'd say, get me James Harden. I'll trade everybody. We don't need a big. I don't need Kyrie. Does KD have it in him? Because, by the way, that's really the key here. LeBron would move people in a second. LeBron has. Yeah. That's why LeBron's LeBron. Does KD have it in him, a minute left, to say to the owner, listen, just get Harden. I couldn't give a rip about anything else. Just get Harden. Let's do a reboot before we've even played.
I feel like he does. So, I mean, ultimately, I feel there's plenty of people, and I'm not one of them, that consider KD, have called KD a snake. If he were to do this, he would be the King Cobra. Because basically, he and Kyrie talked for months about joining forces in Brooklyn. And to turn around and then throw Kyrie into the equation in order to get his old running buddy, James Harden, it would be one of those deals where KD would have to call up Kyrie and go, look, it's not personal. It's just business. Do I think he has it in him? Honestly, I think he just might.
Yeah, so do I. And I don't, I know it sounds.
And I wouldn't blame him.
Oh, God, no. If I can have James Harden, absolutely. Harden and KD, Eastern Conference Finals, you can figure out the rest. It's like LeBron and AD, figure out the rest. Just give me those two and figure it out.
Certainly better than Kyrie, KD, and James. This is not Harden, Westbrook, KD, circa OKC 2.0. They're a completely different place. But that said, yes, I would much rather go Harden, KD, than go KD, Kyrie.
Good stuff. Rick Bucher, Fox.